Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our amazing guest for the day, Chris Prefontaine. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes, really excited to hear all about your experience. Chris has written several books. He's been in real estate for decades. He's a coach. He helps people learn to buy real estate. And I can't wait to hear all about it. He was an engineer at one point. So please, Chris, I always love to start with the origin story. Take us back in time and help me understand how and why you got into real estate in the first place, what you were doing before that, et cetera.
Yeah. So I'll condense for our time because it's 30 years. Yeah. And that would age everybody listening. But so I started in real estate after growing up in a family company that wasn't real estate. But long story short, my father would build buildings for his company. And I saw how he did that and then leased the buildings back to himself, which as a young kid, that didn't make any sense, but did as I got older. And he would do some land flips. So I just was around it. I always wanted to be in real estate. So in college, I started dabbling. Now, fast forward 30 years, we've gone through a real estate brokerage. We've gone through developing and flipping land. We've gone through condominium conversions, raise the roof projects. A lot of the niches, not all, obviously, but a lot of the niches. After the 08 crash, we basically re-engineered the entire business to make sure that when we do buy, we're not buying with banks. We're not signing personally on loans. I felt like what that is like when things crash or change. And so right now we buy everything on lease purchase, owner financing, and subject to existing financing. So it really less risk for us. I won't say none, but it also creates kind of a recession resistant environment, if you will.
For sure. Yeah. Wow. There's a lot there. And I do want to just dive into a couple different aspects of your story. One being like your father. So, I mean, it sounds like he actually was building and then renting out real estate. So did you learn from him at all?
Well, yeah, because it was a welding business, but he would build his own buildings and lease it back to himself. And then he'd find raw land by just kind of banging on doors and or driving by, and he'd engineer that and then flip that. So yeah, I was exposed to that and some of his center of influence, right? And yeah. Got the itch for it and then started picking up books. So even in college, I had zero desire really to be there. I was going through the motions, doing some real estate deals, learning from him. And that's how I got started.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that is amazing. And I'm sure he's so proud of where you've taken it today. Okay. So the next thing I want to just ask about is, so in 2008, did you ever have a different career besides real estate? And I know you started out pretty early on.
Yeah. Other than that family business throughout the years, especially during the crash, when I was trying to figure out, all right, am I going to go back into this game or what? After 18 years, I got beat up badly. So I said, what am I going to do? I did some speaking at the time for the direct sales industry, literally traveled the world, had a great experience, learned a lot, made a lot of money, but it wasn't a lifestyle. It was really a grind. So that's when I said, okay, well, let's re-engineer, literally redefine the rules that we're going to operate in real estate and get back after it. And that's where we are today. Fast forward, from 12 to now. So you're talking another 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I'd love to hear also, anyone who's been through 2008 and come out the other side and is still in real estate, I love to hear a bit about what happened there. What was your real estate business like leading up to 2008? What happened at that time? And then, obviously you changed everything at that point. So I'd love to start hearing that story.
Yeah, very conventional is the short answer. Very conventional, meaning like so many people and probably a lot of the listeners, put down X amount of dollars for down payment, finance the rest, or raise the money either way. And so I did a lot of that. But when the market crashed, and some of the markets I was in, we were doing a condominium conversion, to give you an example, in Providence, Rhode Island, the city. And we were selling condos for 180 grand like hotcakes. And then when the crash happened, we could not unload it for 50 grand. So when you take 2/3 or more out of the market, you're talking about a major hit. Well, the banks come knocking because I was signed personally. And so that was a grind from literally February of 08, I remember like it was yesterday, all the way until February of 2012. That was a workout process because I did not file bankruptcy. I chose to grind through it. And that was a tough road, but that helped us redefine where we are.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And so what did that workout, I mean, you know, whatever you can share about that workout process, like, so the option was either file for bankruptcy or what did that workout process look like?
A lot of work and a lot of stress. So it was not just on the real estate side. I'll hit real estate first, but real estate side, it was selling what we could sell. And because literally the country was going through that, a lot of those loans were forgiven. So that was the only thing, if I think back, that was actually a good thing. Like so many were going on, the banks weren't coming looking for that. But it was an ugly, trying time because it'd sell some of those loans off to people that would come looking for the debt. Creditors, you name it, IRS creditors, repossessions, everything that could go on went on. That's why I alluded to earlier, boy, do I even want to get back into this? That's what was going on. So just a lot of stress and a lot of real estate stress. But 4 years was like a part-time to a full-time job to work out all that. Foreclosures.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I heard you say that it was because you signed on the loans personally. So can you tell us about what you decided to do differently coming out of that?
Yeah. When I say we set the rules, I mean, literally live by them to this day. My son, not my son-in-law, he's with us now, but my son was with me during all that. So to say that he saw that and understood where we were going when we started changing it was an understatement. He appreciated it. And that is, we do not put our own cash down. And there's some exceptions always, but my general is no cash down, no bank loans. We don't raise even private money and we don't sign personally. Everybody has a different palate right now for stress, right? And at 56 this month, I say I sleep at night a lot better knowing that I control $80 or $90 million in real estate and are not on any bank loans. And to even deal with a bank now, in my opinion, to even deal with a bank now is something I just try to avoid.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's so powerful, right? To be able to control, like I think you said, $60 to $80 million worth of real estate. And apparently you've, you know, haven't put any cash in, you haven't signed on any loans. Yeah, I'd love to hear how you're doing that.
Sure. So we buy three ways. I'll start from easiest as a new investor, if somebody's listening for that reason, and I'll work my way up to more complicated. And then, of course, there's another whole podcast we can do on the advanced stuff. But the first way is lease purchase, whereby the deed stays in the seller's name. I'm just contracting them through a lease purchase. And then I'm turning around what a lot of the states call, there's only one state you can't do it. A lot of the states call a sandwich lease. So I'm in between that seller I've got on the contract, and I'm going to go ahead and put a buyer in the home that needs time, so rent home. Second way is much more lucrative. They all carry three paydays to your question before the show, and we can talk about that later. But the second way is owner financing. But we niche within the niche, Suja. We buy owner financing deals from free and clear owners. They don't have any debt. It's about a third of the properties in the United States. We specifically look for them. My office building, I'm not in it today, I'm at home. My office building was bought from an owner who was free and clear. And instead of going through all the commercial underwriting, the down payment, everything else that's needed, we did that deal in about 10 minutes in his office and then had the attorneys close it. And so we look for those deals. And a lot of those people want to do business owner financing for tax, estate planning, and other reasons. So that's my second way we do business. The third, it's a little more complicated and it's going to cost a teeny bit of money when you start transferring property with transfer tax in most states. And that is called subject to existing financing. So I would buy your home. These are more stressful owners versus the free and clear, by the way. Free and clear, clearly unstressed. Subject to owners, they want out or need out financial relief tomorrow. And so they're willing to sell you the property, but their loan remains in their name until someday I cash it out. So I'm not on that loan, even though I bought the property. That's subject to existing financing. Those are the three ways we buy.
Okay, great. I'd love if we could just, you know, for the listeners who aren't so familiar with them, just kind of take each one of those one at a time and break it down, if that's okay.
Yeah, we exit all the same. I think let's talk about the one in the middle, only because the free and clear properties are not distressed, as I said, right? They want the best deal and they can wait. On all these ways we buy, if the seller can wait, it works great. And if the seller says hypothetically, hey, Chris, my family and I have to go buy a home tomorrow with the equity we have, if they have equity, then we're not the buyer. It's okay. On a free and clear property, what we do, we just sold one off oceanfront here in the area, in the resort area. We bought the home from this woman for $945,000. And by the way, she was a realtor. She just couldn't get what she wanted, number one. And number two, because we saw real estate problems, she had her mom in there and there were some circumstances surrounding that she wanted to stay there for a little bit. So we bought the home for $945, no money down, $2,500 a month, principal only payments. This is the key. So they're free and clear, so we can do whatever we want, and they can. As long as they get their price, a lot of them are open to principal only payments. Think about that from a loan standpoint. Usually it's completely opposite, right? All interest. So you get massive principal pay down.
Totally.
So back end, and you get massive recession resistance right there. I'm not going to say recession proof because nothing is, but recession resistant because you're hammering down that principal. That's a simple owner financing deal. They range from 4 to 20 years.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. So basically this woman, she wanted $945,000 for this house, which she was not able to get on the market, correct?
Right.
And you made a deal with her saying like, okay, you be the bank, I'll pay you $2,500 a month and there'll be no interest. And how long is that mortgage term? Is that just 20, it's just straight through?
No, we structured it at 48 months, but we had two extensions with her throughout the term. Just again, it was a win-win for circumstances going on and on and on both ends. So we just literally last month, beginning of 22, we cashed that deal out, but that went on for about 5.5, 6 years, but it was originally papered at 4 years.
Okay. And so just so folks, you understand, like what Chris did is that he now has literally no interest payment. So when you normally buy your single family home on a 30-year mortgage, you know, in the beginning, you're mostly paying interest. You're not actually paying down your principal at all. But Chris was able to give this, you know, woman what she wanted. And I suppose it's appealing to her because she wanted the residual income rather than a large cash payment. Is that right?
Yep, that was her scenario. And because we're always looking to solve for X, whatever X is, right? For a seller, that's the only way they'll do this. Her mother was the big component there. She wasn't well, and she wanted to be able to have the flexibility to stay there a little while. So we actually let her stay in the home. This deal gets funnier and funnier because people say, why would this woman do this? She stayed in the home and credited, instead of paying rent to us, credited the $2,500 a month, took care of the home like it was hers, paid the taxes, paid the landscaping, wanted the burden off her back that just of ownership, wanted her to take care of her mom. It just solved her issue personally and made her happy. That's all that mattered. Unlike the building that I bought for my office building, and we have tenants in it, that gentleman did it purely for tax reasons. He just did not want to get a conventional sale, and we gave him his price. So everybody has their little nuances. As long as you can solve for those, you can do it.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah. Okay. So just back to the house. So essentially her mother was paying the rent to you.
Well, we credited, instead of us paying the principal payment, they swapped off. It was a buyer. We got credit for the principal payment, but they paid no rent.
In the matter of $2,500. And you said she was continuing to pay the property taxes and upkeep the property? Or
yeah, she did it just like she owned it until she left. And then we did our normal type of exit, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really very cool. Because then, you know, once her mother left, then you were just, you, I guess, knew that you could rent that property for how much?
Well, you can rent that property for $5,000, but we do 90% of our exits are rent to own, meaning buyers that need time. That's a short way of explaining it, because there's a lot of misperceptions about how that works.
Yeah.
We work with qualified buyers with a qualified down payment that need time. Why do they need time? Could be COVID. Could be during COVID, we had a major influx of entrepreneurship. So people need 2 years to get a loan. You can't just go get a loan if you switch jobs or careers. So that's the buyer pool we deal with. There's about 82% of the buyers, as soon as you're in any market, they can't get a loan today in their current state. They might need credit repair or time or whatever it might be. That's who we put in these homes with a mortgage ready plan to cash out in 1, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it might be, that fits that deal, because their circumstance has to fit our circumstance.
Yeah. And by cash out, you mean at that point, they purchase the property from you with a mortgage.
Correct. They go get a conventional loan as if they did it today. They just needed time to get there. And everybody's like death, divorce. There's a lot of things that feed that. And that's who we help.
Yeah. Okay. So with this, with that property, and I want to go to the office one after this, with this property where the mother was living in it, how did you find her? Did you just notice that this property was sitting on the market for a long time?
Yeah, good question. This was an expired listing, which is a large majority of our leads. They're either for sale by owner, which in this hot market, not as many, or expired listings, meaning a realtor had it and it didn't sell. She happened to be the realtor. Or we do, as I said, target, speak to telemarket, the free and clear property owners.
Okay, cool. And so with that, so is that a typical deal where you'll give the owner what they want, like in terms of price, but then, you know, there's zero interest and you're making the mortgage payment, you're making payments, purely principal payments to them?
Yeah, that's pretty typical the way you just described it. Her little nuance there that she did and rent back, that's not, but it was a weird but good deal. But yeah, that, well, how you explain it is, yeah, in a nutshell, what we try to do. Yeah.
Okay. Most and just times. A question about that. I mean, obviously everyone's got a different situation and that's part of, you know, working with people is figuring out what it is that they need. Would you say most people are happy with that kind of income stream rather than the down payment? Or do people need a down payment? In that case, are you just not a good fit for them?
Great segue. So there are exceptions, as I said in the intro, where we'll do it. And I'd probably say 5 to 10% of the time we'll do it down. But if we do it down, we're going to use a metric and change the back end. In other words, we're going to lower the price. Mm-hmm. There's no question. I treat it like a kind of a quadrant, Suja. It's price, the term, the length, the down payment, and the monthly. So I say to a seller openly, look, I can't give you all four. Mm-hmm. What would be the most one or two most important? And usually for the higher end and the free and clear, they want their price. Call it ego, call it investment, whatever you want. They want their price. And so we respect that as long as we can get a long enough term. Because picture, what if I overpaid by, I'll use a number, what if I overpaid by 10,000, a conventional buyer wouldn't, but what if I did, and my monthly principal payment was 2,500. In 4 months, I made that up. In 4 months. And I was in that deal for almost 6 years. So that's why we can justify that. But we can't say, you have all four variables. Yep, we'll give you everything you want. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. Okay. Can you review those four again?
Yeah. So you got price, of course. And then you get the length of the term. Very important when you're talking principal. You got possible down payment if they're going to use that as one of the quadrant. And then you got monthly. Mm-hmm. And if they want to throw interest in there's five variables, but there's mainly just three if you take out interest and down payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just since we're doing a deep dive into this one. So when you originally, oh, it was a 4-year term. Is that right?
Originally. Yeah.
Okay. And your plan for that 4 years was I'm going to put a buyer that needs time in there and then they're going to eventually buy it for me.
Absolutely. Yep. That's okay. Usually how we start. And then you never know because some of these deals that start out, there's always a deal after a deal. This one had two deals after the deal, right?
Yeah.
And those are always interesting. They create even more paydays than we usually do by when you pivot on these deals.
Okay. Can you explain that?
The paydays?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that scenario where we do a buyer that needs time, payday one is the down payment, non-refundable down payment. Remember, these are buyers. These aren't renters with some, maybe some hope or wish to buy someday. Second payday is, let's use that house. If it's $2,500 going to the seller, or if it was a different deal, maybe a bank, then what's coming in is going to be greater than that. That's our payday two. In this case, it was a lot. You got to factor in taxes and whatnot, but it was a couple $1,000. And then the back end is really cool because the back end is all of that principal pay down. Payday three is all of that principal pay down and whatever we marked the house up. We ended up selling that not too crazy of a markup. I think it was $1,150. But you had all that principal pay down for all that time. That's what makes the deal work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll give you a quick metric on the three paydays. So when you find a house, this is guaranteed. When you find a house, purchase a house, owner financing that's free and clear, that's at least $200,000 or higher, that's at least 48 months or longer, and that the monthly payment's at least $950 principal monthly, you have a six-figure deal all three paydays, all day long. Even on a $220,000 house, you'll make $100,000 in 4 years.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so these buyers that need time, they're putting a down payment down in that case. Okay. So they're basically saying, we know we're going to committing to getting to the point where we can refinance and buy this house, or we can get a mortgage and buy this house from you.
Right.
Okay. What do you require from them as far as a down payment?
Okay. So we want to set them up to win. So we want to make sure if they're below jumbo, they're going to be somewhere between 5% and 10%. We put them through some underwriting criteria, not us, but third party. So we figure that out to make sure it matches. If it's jumbo, we got to find a way throughout the term, even if it takes longer, to get them to 20%. So that they don't get to the end and go, oh, I didn't know that, right? Most people would if they're at that level, but if it's a jumbo, I want to make sure we set them up to win. So they do the payday one over time sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll get in with X and then keep doing it over time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay. Thanks for doing that deep dive into that one. I think that's really interesting and a lot to think about there. So tell us about this office deal and, you know, what the seller was wanting and how you were able to work with them.
Yeah, this is interesting because this was on a main drag. They call it Million Dollar Mile. Like, it's not a quiet area. This is a very desirable area across from BJ's. He had a sign out for Middletown, Rhode Island.
Okay.
So for people's reference, 30 miles away from Providence, 40 miles away from Boston, right in the middle. It is an island. Okay. We live on a 3-town island, but this strip is very popular. And when I met him in that building where today my office is, he said, I prefer owner financing. And he dictated some terms with interest in it. He was a big real estate investor. He's not new to real estate. He was free and clear, and his son left the state and he didn't have anyone to give it to. So he figured it'd sell. Of course, we like principal only. So we structured a time frame up front, and he was okay with the creativity. That was all principal. And then when the loan got down to X amount, I think it was down in the 400s. I bought it for in the 500s. Then we took that and amortized it for him. So I got my way with the principal up front for about whatever it was, 18 months or so. And then we amortized it for him. I bought that back in 18. But we inherited tenants. It was cash flow positive day one.
Okay, very cool. So the problem you were solving for him was, can you just break that down?
Two things. One, planned his whole life. He's in his 70s. He's since passed, sadly. He planned his whole life to give this to his son. His son went to law school, left and went to Chicago. Left of this building, and he used to be an appraiser in it and no longer was working. So he put it on the open market.
His son just didn't want it.
Yeah, he left. He went to Chicago to practice law. Okay. So, yeah. So then he wanted what? He wanted more of a tax plan and an estate plan for he and his wife. So he wanted the long-term cash flow. Mm-hmm. The KKLS didn't need the money, right? He's free and clear. So he didn't need the money today. In fact, throughout the process, he forgot to put in a prepay. And he pleaded with me, I do not want to get paid out. Like, he didn't want to be cashed out.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny.
Interesting. Okay. And then I know you just went over this, but just to break it down a little further. So how did you help him with his taxes?
Well, because of the installments, I don't know what his basis was, but, and I'm not an accountant, but just for those of you that are out there and you understand what basis is, whatever his basis was, let's be very simple. Let's say I bought it for 500. It was a little above. Mm-hmm. And let's say his accountant had his basis at 250. Mm-hmm. 50% of his sale is profit, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I was to make, I'm going to use round numbers, but it's not the exact numbers. If I was to make $1,000 monthly principal payment to him, he's exposed to 50% of that being capital gains. He did not want to have an outright sale and get hit with everything right at once, A. Mm-hmm. And B, I paid his price. He hadn't sold it up to that point.
Okay. Got it. So basically, seller financing is a way for people to not get hit with capital gains all at once, right? And he can count it against other losses they have and et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you have to put any money into this property?
That one we did. Again, it was going to house all our companies. So we sent our rehab crews and our builders in there. We had about a month to do this. It was a 6,000 square foot building, but we rehabbed it all, moved our businesses in there, kept the two tenants in place. One of them's a big franchise name that had to have that busy location. So we knew that that was kind of our anchor.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing, you know, those two deals. And I think it is so important for people to just remember that there are and like figure out how can I buy real estate, right? Because a lot of people have a lot of limiting beliefs about that, you know, understandably so. The world doesn't necessarily put this information out there. And here you are, you know, buying buildings, controlling buildings without putting any money down and signing on the loan. And it's very impressive. So thank you very much, Chris, for coming in on and sharing about your background and your history and everything you've been through and how you're making deals happen today. Will you please take a moment to share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So just because we didn't have time to hit all the deals, they can go to a free master's class. It's free. If you don't mind listening to me for another 55 minutes, you get 55 minutes of myself and my son-in-law going through each one of those deals that we mentioned, but also whiteboarding it. Mm-hmm. To show you exactly how these numbers work out. We're pretty open. We'll give you the good, the bad, the challenges, the wins. And that's at smartrealestatecoach.com/masters class.
Okay, awesome. Well, that is an amazing offering. I hope if you guys are curious about how to buy real estate with creative financing that you check out Chris's masterclass. It's so important, you know, to actually understand the numbers, and he's going to whiteboard it for you and pull back the curtains on all of the aspects of those deals. So thanks so much, Chris, for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.